positive two names that were given to the city by two of the people in Sefer Bereishis. Avram Kara Oso Yira. Shem Kara Oso Shalem. The sources for this. We know that in Bereishis Parakaf Beis, we're told that Avram was told to go to Eretz HaMoriah. You want to give some of the makaros for the women's section, please? People can share here. Please take the rest and give to the women's section. And everyone here should please share with one another. If there's extras, please pass back so everyone can have. Avram was sent to Eretz HaMoriah. After he passed the test of the Akedah, he called the place Hashem Yireh. So Avram called Eretz HaMoriah Yireh. And we know that the Beis HaMikdash was built in Eretz HaMoriah. Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Gimel. Shlomo finished building the Beis HaMikdash B'Yerushalayim, B'Har HaMoriah. And that's why the Rambam summarizes that there's a Mesoris B'Yad HaKol. Everyone has the tradition, even non-Jews. The place where David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach is the place where Avram performed the Akedah. Avram called Yerushalayim Yireh. Shem, who had another name when he was king of Yerushalayim, Malki Tzedek, named the place Shalem. How do we know that Shalem is the name for Yerushalayim? Ibn Ezra points to a pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Vayhi v'shalem suko, his sukkah is in Shalem, u'ma'onoto, and his residence is Bitzion. So we see that Shalem is another name for Tzion. That's why the Targum Mukhlis on the pasuk says, Malki Tzedek Malka to Yerushalayim. Yireh and Shalem are the two names that were given to this place. Hashem put them together and called it Yerushalayim. Interestingly, Tosfos explains, bottom of page 1, that the reason we don't have a second Yud in the name Yerushalayim, it's spelled Yerushalayim, is because it's really based on Shalem. And that explains the English translation of the city name. We don't call it Jerusalem Lion. We call it Jerusalem because it's a translation of Shalem. The reason we pronounce Yerushalayim plural is because there's Yerushalayim Shel Malo and Yerushalayim Shel Mata, and it has that extra connotation of the double. But the name Yerushalayim is based on these two names. So first of all, the question is, why did Hashem have to use both? If you look back at the Medrash, top of page 1, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I call it Yireh like Avram called it, underlined, Shem Adam Tzadik Misroim. Shem, who's a great tzaddik, will be angry. And if I only call it Shalem, Avram, who's an Adam Tzaddik, tzaddik will be Misraim. Why would they get upset? Why is the name that they gave it so important to them? It seems each of these names are very important for appreciating what Yerushalayim is about. And that's why I suggest that to understand the roots of what Yerushalayim is meant to stand for, we have to appreciate each of these names. I'll add two more points. The second point is, which of the names was given first historically? Yireh by Avraham? Or Shalem by Shem? Look at the Prakim here. Which name was given first? Shalem. So if you put them together, what order should it be in? Shalem Yireh. Doesn't sound right to us. Why are they in that order? And the second point I want to put on the table is, one of the most sensitive issues we face regarding Yerushalayim is that it's a divided city. Even though we see it as a unified city, it's a divided city. Most people, when they think about the fact that it's divided, they think about the Jews, and the Arabs, and the Christians. But the truth is, those sensitive to what Yerushalayim is about know that within the Jewish world, it's a divided city. There's some Jews who see it a certain way, others who see it another way. And the question is, what are these different elements of Yerushalayim, and how can we unify it for Jews? And I believe once we unify it for Jews, maybe then it'll be unified for the world as well. So this is what this shiur is about, trying to appreciate the different principles of Yerushalayim as represented by these two names. And we're going to take a look at these two tales. This wonderful topic that my wife came up with, a city of two tales. These two tales that are the backdrop of what Yerushalayim is about. We'll look at each of them and we'll try and learn what we can learn from them. Looking at page 2, the aftermath of the war of the four kings and the five kings, and Avraham is victorious and brings back Lot and all the people of Sodom and all the possessions. Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Melech Sodom comes out to greet him. But before we're told about Avraham's interaction with Melech Sodom, which continues in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Torah inserts here his meeting with Malki Tzedek. And the obvious question is, if the Torah wants to talk about Malki Tzedek, talk about him first and then get to Melech Sodom. If you want to talk about Melech Sodom first, talk about him and then talk about Malki Tzedek. Why does it introduce us to Melech Sodom and then time out Malki Tzedek? It's because the Torah wants you to look at the meeting of Avram and Melech Sodom in the context of his meeting with Malki Tzedek. And the contrast here is clear. Both Melech Sodom and Malki Tzedek offer Avraham to work together with him. A shutfus. He's willing to work with Malki Tzedek. It says he gives him a tenth of what he had conquered. But he's unwilling to work with Molestom. And the question is why? In fact, I'll just mention briefly, Avram's unwillingness to accept the rechush, Pasukov Aleph, that Melech Sdom offers him, God rewards in the next perek by telling Avram that his descendants will leave Mitzrayim with a rechush. Gadol. The word rechush appears very rarely in the Torah, but it appears twice here. Avram refuses to work with Melech Sdom is very important. Why? I think there are two explanations. Both are important. The second one connects deeply to Yerushalayim, as we're about to see. First explanation, I believe, we can see in the words of Avram's response to Melech Sdom, which are taken from Malki Tzedek's words to Avraham. If you look at Pesukim Yudchet, Yutet, and Chof, Avram and Malki Tzedek, you see the recurring phrase. Malki Tzedek is introduced to us, Pesukim Yudchet, as a Kohen Le'el Elyon, a priest to God above. And when he speaks to Avraham, he says, Baruch Avram Le'el Elyon, Kone Shemayim V'aretz, Avram is blessed to the God above. Uvaruch El Elyon, and this is where we get the phrase from, Asher Migein Tzarecha B'yadecha. Malki Tzedek attributes Avram's victory to Hashem, Avram's relationship with Hashem, and that's why Avram is willing to deal with him, because he has the right perspective. How does Melech Sdom see Avram's victory? Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayomer Melech Sdom el Avram, Tein li hanefesh, give me my people, my subjects back, v'arechush kach loch, and you take the possessions. Why should Avram take the possessions? Because the spoils are for the victor. Who is the victor? Avram! Avram responds and says, Harimos Yadiel Hashem! El Elyon! Kone Shamayim! I'm not taking any of this! You think I was victorious? Velo Tomer Ani Esharti Es Avram! Don't think you or anyone else makes me rich! HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me rich! We see the significance of the raised hands from a few generations later. Who raises their hands at a time of war to show people who is helping us be victorious? Moshe Rabbeinu, the next source. The key word in Shmos Perek Yedzayin, the Yad raised in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which asks, "V'chiyad of Shal Moshe osos mecham Moshe avros mecham." What is it? Some magical hand trick? And the Mishnah answers, "Moshe is showing them where victory comes from." The Malbim continue on page 3. The Meshech Chachma both speak about this message, and the Ger Rebbe has a beautiful explanation where he says that when Avram said, "V'lo tomer ani asharti es Avram," he was talking to his hands. Listen, hands. Don't you say that you made Avram rich. Hashem made me rich. When Hashem plays a role in helping us be victorious, we show that by not taking of the spoils of war. What famous war were the Jews prohibited from taking from the spoils because of that for? Jericho. And when a Jew took, Hashem said, okay, let's see how well you do in the next war. To realize who's helping us be victorious is so important on Yom Yerushalayim. And I think this is why. Or the basis of Chazal's association of shame with Malki Tzedek. Because Shem was the first one to make a Kiddush Hashem. If we remember Bereishis Perek Tes, after Ham takes advantage of his father in a bad state, it's Shem who initiates and shows respect. And Manoach wakes up, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, V'yishkon Baal Hashem. Shem, in his later incarnation of Malki Tzedek, attributes what happens in this world to God. And that's a very important point. And I didn't want to skip over it. But there's a second point which I think is deeply related to Yerushalayim. If you go back to page 2 for a moment, look at the names of the kings of Sdom and Amorah at the top of the page. What were their names? I bolded it for everyone. Pasuk Beis. The name of Melech Sdom was?
Bera.
And the name of Melech Amorah was? Birsha. Do those names remind you of anything? Ra and Resha. Appropriate names for a king of Sdom or Amorah. Now, interestingly, Shem's king name in Yerushalayim, what was his king name? Malki Tzedek. And it's not coincidental. Because if you look at Yoshua Perek Yud, when the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael, then what's the name of the king of Yerushalayim? Middle of page 3. What's the name of the king of Yerushalayim in Yoshua Perek Yud? Adoni Tzedek. If you were a king of the Egyptians, your name was Paro. If you were king of the Plishtim, your name was? Avimelech. If you were a king of Yerushalayim, a Goyish king, your name was? Tzedek. And that's why the Ibn Ezra, the Pashtun, says he was called Malki Tzedek, Ba'avur Shehu Malach Al Makom Tzedek, because he ruled over a place of justice. And the Medrash Rabbah explains, because the place creates justice amongst its residents. It has justice residing in it. We'll see later the Pesukim of the Nevi'im about this. And that's why, bottom of page 3, the Beis Din HaGadol of the Jewish people that's responsible for justice then and today resides in Yerushalayim, Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. And the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim sees this as a basic component of the Beis Din HaGadol. It's not just an idea of Beis Din HaGadol, and ideally it should be in Yerushalayim, the Rambam says. Beis Din HaGadol, Shev Yerushalayim, Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, Veheim Amudei Ha'orah, etc. And this explains the beautiful Gemara in Tanis, which says that the reason the place is called Eretz HaMoriah is because Ha'orah, direction of how to live just lives, comes from Yerushalayim. And to elaborate a little bit more on this on page 4, when Hashem comes to tell Avram about the destruction of Sodom, we're told on the one hand that the people of Sodom are ro'im v'chato'im l'Hashem me'od. There's a zi'oka and tzi'oka that's being generated in Sodom, Bereishis Perek Yud Ches. And Hashem tells us, the readers, why he wants Avram to know about it, Pasuk Yud Tet. Because I know that he's going to teach his children and his family to follow his path of tzedakah and mishpat. Avram is the contra of Sodom. Sodom stands for Zeakah and Tzeakah. And Avram stands for Tzedakah. And obviously the words are very similar. In Hebrew, very often you have that close but flip. And you see it regarding Mashkon. If you lend money to an almana and you take as a Mashkon her cloak, you're mechuyev to return it to her every night. Which of course undermines the whole purpose of the Mashkon. Because we're compassionate. In Shmos Perek Chafes, Pashat Mishpartu Mishpatim, it says, if you don't give it back to her, when she cries to me, the Shamati, I'll hear because you didn't hear. Dvarim Perek Chaf Dalet, Parshas Ki Tetzei, it says, and if you do give it back, it's your choice. And when we realize Sodom versus Avraham, we realize how laden this pair is of Tzedakah versus Tzedakah. Moving forward, our relationship with Hashem. We recite these tikkun when we put our tefillin on in the morning. Varastach li li'olam. Our betrothal, our commitment to each other is eternal. Through what? Varastach li b'tzedek u'v'mishpat. And not surprisingly, these values are central to Yerushalayim when the Jews come to settle it. When King David builds his dynasty there. As we know, Shmuel Bet Perek Bet, initially King David ruled over Beis Yehuda in Hebron. In Perek Ched, he moved to rule over all the Jewish people in Yerushalayim. And what's the first thing we're told? Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael vayehi David ose mishpat utzdaka. And these themes appear in Tehillim, in Mishlei, the writings of David and Shlomo. And a beautiful Yerushalmi that says, David said to Hashem, if I can't build the Beis HaMikdash, let me die and let Shlomo be, become the king. And Hashem said to him, bottom of page 4, the mishpat and tzedakah that you do are more precious to me than all the korbanos that will be offered in the future. Pasuk of Mishlei, Aso tzedakah u'mishpat nivchar l'Hashem mizavach. And when Queen Sheba comes to visit Shlomo's empire, and Shlomo of course shows her everything, what's the salient point that she emphasizes? Pasuk Tet, top of page 5. Yehi Hashem Elokecha baruch asher chafetz b'chol letitcha al kisei Yisrael bi'avat Hashem et Yisrael l'olam v'yesimcha l'melech lasot mishpat utzdaka. How did she perceive how Shlomo saw his reign? Mishpat utzdaka. And this is the cornerstone of the mizmor we read this morning, the most famous mizmor about Yerushalayim. Samachti ba'omim li'beis Hashem melech. Yerushalayim pasuk gimel is the ir shechubra lo yachtov. What makes it possible for Jews who are sometimes difficult in coming together to come together in Yerushalayim, Sukkim Dalet and Hay? Shesham alu shvatim, ki shama yashvu chisot lemishpat kisot lebeisnat. When there's shlom Yerushalayim, shalom v'chelech, shalva b'yarmen osayich, Yerushalayim can be the city that brings people together. And that's why there's a very interesting halachic significance to Jews coming together in Yerushalayim. We know that in the time of Bayisheni, not all the Jews were makbid on Tumah and Tara. And so people who were chaverim would not trust Ami Haaretz. If they touched their food, they assumed it to be tameh. Except on the regel. On the regel, there was a moratorium on these chashot about tumah. Why? The Mishnah in Chagiga quotes this idea, and quotes the pasuk from Shoftim Chaf about Jews gathering together ki'ish echad chaverim. But the Yerushalmi quotes our pasuk, ir shemechaberet Yisrael zeh lazeh. And the Malbim beautifully explains the last part of Kuf Chaf Bei is about Shlom Yerushalayim, L'manachai V'rei'ai. He says, just like a body cannot function unless all of the limbs are healthfully connected to one another, Yerushalayim cannot function as a city if the people are not healthfully, justice, able to live comfortably with one another. Continuing on to page 6, we know from Sefer Dvarim how critical, how much it's a condition that we live in Eretz Yisrael with tzedek. Varim perek tzayin shoftim b'shotrim. Tzedek, tzedek. Tear it off. Let's read carefully. Leman tichya v'yarashta et haaretz. Later in perek chaf hey, tzedek yeloch. Leman yarichun yamecho ala adama. And Rashi emphasizes these two points. Leman tichya v'yarashta. Kedaihu minui hadayonim haksherim. It's worthwhile to appoint kasher dayanim lahachiot et Yisrael to give us life. Ulo shivan alad masan. And to let us settle in our land. And that's why, understandably, when Yerushalayim, that's supposed to be the contra for stone, that's supposed to be, it's supposed to embody justice, loses that and becomes the opposite. Obviously, the Golus is around the corner. And that's why Yeshayahu, in the Haftorah that we read on Shabbat Chazon, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, speaks specifically about this point. As we all know, Pasuk Tes, he says that the Jewish people in Yerushalayim are kimat kistom hayinu, la mora daminu. And the next pasuk he says, he addresses them as kitsine stom. Now again, if you appreciate Sefer Bereishis and you hear this, you're chilling because this is exactly the opposite of what we're meant to be. Why are they like stone? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Eicha haita lezona kirya ne'amana. Mileati mishpat. I, God, filled it with mishpat. Tzedek yolin bo. Tzedek resided within it. How frustrated is God about Yerushalayim becoming stone? And if we look back at the Medrash we saw earlier about how Yerushalayim is matzdik es yoshvav, this is the pasuk quoted from Yeshayahu, Tzedek Yolimba. Four prakim later, Yeshayahu Perakeh, he compares the Jewish people to a vineyard. Vineyard takes years to grow. You plant it, you invest in it. Orla, Revai, finally you eat the first grapes. Imagine the disappointment when they're sour. Shem says, Yeshayahu Pasuk Zayin, the Jews are God's vineyard. Vayakav lemishpat. When he ate the grapes, he was hoping for mishpat. V'hinei mishpach. And it's refuse. L'tzedakah. God was hoping for tzedakah. V'hinei tzedakah. If you remember this from Sefer Bereishis and Shemot and Dvarim, you understand how problematic this is. That's why page 7 of the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Imreita dorshet tzaros rabos bosalov. If you see a generation with suffering, say you're dope with Dayani Yisrael. Check how the Dayanim are. Shakol Peranus Shabaliyolim Lo Boyal Abshul Dayani Yisrael. And that's why, understandably, the Geula, continuing on page 7, Shayahu in the end of Perek Aleph says, when will the Geula come? V'ashiva shosteich krev yishona v'yotzai kibat chila achareichein yikari loch ir hatzedek. It will once again be a city of tzedek. Tzion b'mishpat tipade v'shavea b'tztaka mishpat tztaka. The Gemara in Shabbos continues. Kavish Baruch Hu is only mashresh chinaso in Yisrael when they have justice amongst them. Ein Yisrael nifta ela bitztaka. My great 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 uncle, the Gra, in benching, he would say bone Yerushalayim amen. Not bone birachamov, because it's not going to be mercy. It's going to be when there's tztaka or mishpat, when we deserve it. And now that we're back, we have to focus on making sure we have that. Bottom of page 7, Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, and through the model of Yerushalayim, God will be called Hashem Tzidkenu. Two brachot of our Shmona Esrei are about these prophecies of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. Yerushalayim is supposed to stand for justice, morality. It's supposed to be a model for the world of how a correct society functions. We know there are many people who call Israel to a higher standard of morality and justice. Many Jews do. They're not wrong. They're correct. Jews should maintain a higher level of justice. We shouldn't be frustrated. We shouldn't be angry that we seek that higher level. It's what Yerushalayim is about. It's why we have this special city. It's what Shalem is about. Let's turn now to the second tale, page 8, and take a look at Avram's name of the city, Yirah. What does that name teach us? So the first thing we have to know and remind ourselves of is how important the story of the Akedah is in our religious philosophy, in our relationship with God. Because there are elements within our community that have a problem with the concept of submission, people are subverting the understanding of Akedah Yitzchak. And it requires a reminder from time to time about the fact that this was the climax of Avram's nisyonos. As Hashem said,
Ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata.
I didn't know it before. I know it now. And the Abarbanel emphasizes the point. The kol keren Yisrael v'schutam lefnei avim shavashamayim is the akeda l'chein hishkura b'finu b'tfilasenu kol yom. We start the tefillah after Birchas HaShachar by asking God to remember Avram's willingness to submit, to control his emotion. And so too Hashem should control the kas on us. We use it as a model of being a Yirei Shamayim, as Hashem pointed out. And we use it to introduce korbanos. As Avram himself said after he sacrificed the ram, Bahar Hashem Yeirah, this will be the beginning of the sacrifice of korbanos here. But there's, of course, an obvious question as we turn to page 9. Child sacrifice is something Hashem calls toeva. How can we celebrate, learn from? How could Avram have been willing to do something that's a toeva? I think the answer is very simple and very important. If you look at the Perek Yudbeis in Sefer Dvarim, where it's called toeva, there are two topics. One topic with two sublets. The topic is when you enter Eretz Yisrael, and you see how the goyim serve their gods. Don't copy and paste that into Avodat Hashem. The beginning of the parak says, you see where they served, on every mountain, low hill, under every tree. They were chassidish. They served God everywhere, shtibluch. That's not how we serve Hashem. Lo tasekein l'Hashem elokecha, ki el makom asher yivchar Hashem. You go where He chooses, not where you choose. Today we don't have a choice, but that's how it's supposed to be. The end of the parak says, when you see how they serve their God, don't imitate that. Lo sasekein l'Hashem lokecha. Et kol ha'davar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem oto tishmu. Avodat Hashem is not serving God the way we want to. It's serving God the way He wants us to. It's what He tells us. How do we know if our service of Hashem is what appeals to us or what appeals to Him? There are two nafkaminas. The first is when there's something that appeals to us that He doesn't tell us to do. And what's the classic example of Avodat Hashem in the Torah where someone had a beautiful idea that God didn't ask for and therefore they were punished severely? Nadab ben Abihu. The Eish Zohar Asher Lo Tzivosam Hashem. And what's the other example of something that Hashem does want from us but we can't possibly want? Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak is the test of why and how we serve. And if you look carefully in the continuation of page 9, these were the two elements. The place I tell you, and the way I tell you. And interestingly, when Avram's son Yitzchak asks him in Pasuk Zayin, you know, Dad, I see the fire, I see the wood, where's the sheep? In Pasuk Chet, Avram answers, Halakim Yirelo Asa, God will show us, God will choose it. That's not evasive, that's the truth. You know what the sheep is? Whatever God tells us is the sheep. Avram is a Yirei Elokim, not because he fears God, but because he follows what God shows him. And he calls the place Hashem Yireh, because Hashem has shown us. And that's why the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes that the Akedah has two basic principles of Yesodos HaTorah to teach us. The first is the Gvul of Ava and Yira of Hashem, how far it goes. And that's why Avram is the only person in Tanakh that Hashem calls my lover, Avram Oavi. Because Avram follows whatever Hashem tells him. As Tehillim defines the Yirei Elokim, Kuf Chav Chesem, Mizmor about Yerushalayim, Shir HaMalot Ashrei Kol Yirei Hashem, HaHolech Bidrachov. Or in the words of Rashi, on the word Yireh, Yireh Lo Haseh, Yireh, Yireh V'Yivchar. Avram's willingness to sacrifice Yitzchak is the model of future korbanos because it sets a model of korbanos being sacrificing to Hashem whatever He asks us and tells us to in complete submission. This is why page 10. The mitzvah for the Jewish people to come 3 times a year and sacrifice korbanos in Yerushalayim is named after Avraham. Shalosh pa'amim bashana, yeiro'eh kol zichurcha. El pnei ha'adon Hashem, we're seeing by Hashem. And et pnei ha'adon Hashem, we see God, no less. The mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, the famous Mishnah in Peah we say every morning, is called Harei Ayon, Ri'iyah, as the Gemara in Chagiga elaborates. And it's where we see each other. Powerful words of Rav Yochanan ben Da'avai in Chagiga Daf Dalet Amid Beis. A person with only one eye is not mechuyev to make Aliyah L'Regel. Because Kederach Shebaliros, Kach Baliros. It's where you see and are seen by Hashem. In fact, bottom of page 10, I'm skipping over things for time's sake, The Gemara in Yoma tells us when the Jews would be older, the regal, they would roll back the proches. They would see the kruvim embracing. And the Kohanim would tell them, Ruchi bashchem lefnei hamakom. See how much you're loved. The vision, the embrace, the connection, which Aliyah L'Regel and Moadim are about. Continuing on page 11, we know that we call the Yom Tovim Moadim because of a time when we meet Hashem. Itecha zeseder moed. Why it's so important to show respect for the Moadim. Why the Mishnah Avos, the Gemara in Pesachim, are so strong about someone who is mevaza the Moadim. Ein lo chelik olam haba kilo obed avod zara. Because it's our connection with Hashem. So to summarize, the name Yireh and the actions of Avram represent a totally different side of Yerushalayim. Religious commitment. Complete commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His will. And we know people in Yerushalayim who represent this too, who embody that as well. We know people in Yerushalayim who emphasize the high court, justice, morality, peace. And we know people in Yerushalayim who stand for religious commitment and devotion, and there are no people in the world like those people. It's not coincidental, like people like Rav Nevenzahl live in Yerushalayim. It's because there's something in the atmosphere of what the place represents. And if you look at page 12, the Meshech Chachma summarizes these two components as what make Yerushalayim Yerushalayim. He speaks first about Shem, who lived during the Dor HaMabul. And the problem of the Dor HaMabul was selfishness. Murder, theft, rape. Shame stood for Shalem, justice, tzedakah, mishpat. Avram lived during the time of the Dor HaFlaga, Migdal Bavel, who were rebelling against God in whatever form. And his message was the commitment to God. And the Meshech Chachma continues, V'nei Yerushalayim b'nuya al shtei hadvarim. It's built on both these things. The zakech hamuskalot, shikaron b'moach u'latakin u'lakashit hamidot. Fixing our behavior. And then the commitment to Hashem. Continuing on page 13 beautifully, we see how these two aspects connect to the two kings who built Yerushalayim. Let's start with Yireh. God's choice. There was no king who was God's choice as much as David HaMelech. Everyone's familiar with the tale of Cinderella. In the 1960s, people who are old enough to remember may know that Jerry Lewis put out a movie called Cinderfella, which was the same thing, but the girl was a boy. And the reason I mention it is because his version is really more based on the Makor for Cinderella. Does anyone know where Cinderella really comes from in the Bible? Because the Christians learned the Bible, and that's why they have stories that are based on it. Shmuel is sent to Yishai's family to find the new king. He doesn't need a shoe or a slipper. He's an oven, right? Yishai lines up his boys, all of them with the exception of, he's in the roof with the mice. You know what I'm saying? What is he going to ever come to this, right? So the first one comes, Pasuk Vav. He sees Eliav. He's tall, dark, and handsome. Hashem says to Shmuel, Al tabit el mar'ehu. Don't look at how he looks. I become disgusted with tall, dark, and handsome people. Who made God disgusted with tall, dark, and handsome people? Show. Ki lo asher yireh ha'adam. Ki ha'adam yireh le'enayim v'ashem yireh l'alevav. And each one, Yishai brings Avinadav, Shama. And each one, Shmuel says, Gam bezeh lo bochar Hashem. Lo bochar Hashem. Hashem yireh. This is not the choice. Anyone else? Oh yeah, we have David. They bring David, who no one thinks should be king. And Hashem says, Kum mishacheu kizeu. David will identify Yerushalayim as the place God has chosen because he himself is king only because God identified him as the one he chose when nobody else thought it was possible. And David HaMelech chillingly uses the same two words to identify the Makom HaMizbeach, bottom of page 13, Divrei Hayomim, Vayomer David, Zehu Beis Hashem Elokim, Vezeh Mizbeach Lo'ol Yisrael. But David can't build the Beis HaMikdash because he's a man of war and of blood, and in Pasuk Tes, he's told, you're going to have a son, he'll be a man of peace. Shlomo yeshmo v'shalom v'sheket al tein al Yisrael v'yomov. Shlomo stands for shalem, justice, peace, both together. And Mizmar Kuf Chaf Ches, bottom of page 13, begins with the Ashrei Kol Yirei Hashem Olech B'drachov, and how happy a Yirei Hashem is because his family can rally around him, because his values are not selfish. Rally around me because I'm important. His values are Yiras Hashem. And that's why Eshtecha Kegefen Poria B'Yarkasei Basecha Banecha Keshesilei Zeisim Sogav L'Shulchanecha Hinei Kichon Yivarech Gover Yirei Hashem. The second part is Yivarech Hashem Yitzion Urevanim Levanecha Shalom Al Yisrael. These two ideas represent a dichotomy that Yerushalayim is meant to embody. Judaism in so many ways brings together ideas that people have a hard time believing can sit together. the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva in the third parak of Avos, that on the one hand we believe Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, all people are precious, we're universalistic, and at the same point we say in the very next line, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Vanim Lamakom. Are we universalistic or parochial? We're both unabashedly, and if you can't handle it, we're sorry. We believe in a place of justice, and we believe in devotion, full commitment, overarching any of our own understandings of reality. And this is what I want to conclude with, looking at page 14. I think the reason Yira comes before Shalem, even though historically is the other way, is because Shalem is meant to be rooted in Yira. What do I mean? If you look at page 14, the pasuk we mentioned earlier, where Hashem tells us why He chooses Avram, it says, Yadativ lamanashi yitzaved banavet beito acharav vishamru derech Hashem laso tzedaka u'mishpat. It doesn't say they're going to keep values of tzedaka u'mishpat. It says they're going to keep the values of derech Hashem, which are tzedaka u'mishpat. We are not moral and ethical because we believe in it independent of God's direction. We believe in it because this is God's direction. And that's why the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Zekel Ivan Veyu, Mahu Rachum V'chanan V'rachum Avatar Rachanan V'rachum. We learn our morality from God. Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach makes someone Chassid Yomath Olam if he keeps them because he recognizes God as having commanded. It's the why and it's the what. Yesh Kodesh says about the Akedah very powerfully in the Warsaw Ghetto, what he was going through. He says, when we say Hashem Elokim Emet, what we mean is that God's word defines truth. It's not that God's word happens to line up with the truth. God's word is what makes it the truth. And that's how the Yesh Kodesh explains the difference between Jewish morality and secular morality. Rav Kook reflects the same idea beautifully in Arot HaTshuvah. He says, you cannot connect to the national roots of the Jewish people unless you have the purity to see God's higher version of morality. The ambition, the passion, the striving for tzedaka elyona, tzidkas Hashem ba'olam. What Rav Kook is responding to is the attempt of secular Jews to try and build Jewish nationhood as an ideal society without God and His directives as the model. For us, Shalem begins with Yira. And if you look at page 15, I believe this is the message of Avram's interaction with Avimelech. We know that we're told twice in Sefer Bereishis about Avram's wife being taken from him. First in Perek Yud Beis by Paro, and then later in Perek Chaf by Avimelech. And the obvious question is, why do we need the same story twice? That's why there are some who have all kinds of theories about the Torah, because why would anyone write it twice, right? That happened twice. Why do we need to hear it twice? The answer, if you look carefully, is what happens the second time that didn't happen the first time. The first time, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes, Paro says to Avram, why did you do this? Take her and go. Avimelech also is angry at Avram about what he did. Perakov Pasuk Tes. Avimelech says to Avram, what did you do to me? What did I do wrong to you that you did this to me? Unacceptable. Avram doesn't answer, and there's no one to talk to. But then Avimelech pushes further, Pasuk Yud. V'yomer Avimelech al Avram, Ma ro'ito ki asito et hadavar hazeh. I want to learn from this. Why did you suspect me? Then the Tziv explains that the Egyptians were known to be a lewd people. But the Plishtim, they had morals and ethics. And why did you assume I'm like an Egyptian? What's Avram's answer? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Avram ki amarti rakin yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'haruguni al dvarishti. You may have morals, but they're not based in yirat Elokim. And if they're not based in yirat Elokim, they're unreliable. We live in a world where many people have morals that are not based on yirat Elokim. And we know how unreliable they are. The Brisker Rav adds to this. It's a society that would never take another man's wife. Instead, they kill people and then take their wives. Meaning, one thing is immoral, the other thing is moral, and it's whatever happens to fit in with your shita. Yirat Yirata Elokim b'makom hazeh. The same Yirat Elokim of Avram later in the parsha about Hashem Yireh, Ata Yadati Ki Yireh Elokim Ata, is what Avram stands for as a contrast to the peoples of the region, Stom, the Plishtim, etc. And if we conclude on page 16, when Kohelet uses the same term, Sotavar Kol Nishmat Elokim Yirav Et Mitzvotav Shemorki Zeh Kol Adam, there's a very powerful piece by Rav Chanan Wasserman. It's a drasha he gave to the rabbinic seminary in Berlin in the 1920s. And it's not coincidental. And he said, you see from this pasuk and from what Avram said, that to be a human being, to live up to higher standards, you need Yirat Elokim. A person can physically be human, but without Yirat Elokim, he can descend to the level of animals in the way he acts, in the way he interacts with his friends, with his wife, with society. Mi she'en bo Yirat Shamayim, eino Adam klal, rak bal chayim. And he has a lengthy discussion of this and the danger of what people not bound by Yirat Elokim, how they threaten one another. And he says, people without Yirat Elokim can be part of the most cultured society in the world and kill millions of people. This he said in Berlin in the 1920s. Anyone wants to make a say, don't leave with me, so I'll get to you. But just to conclude, there are people in Yerushalayim, as I said, who believe in justice, in broader ideas of international value and being a model society. There are people on the other extreme who see Yerushalayim as a place that stands for divine commitment to the divine. Who's right? It's not just that they're both right. It's that we believe that the two need to be linked to one another and that the Shalem should be rooted in the Yira. And I think the religious Zionist community, the modern Orthodox community, has a major role to play, not only in valuing both, but in showing how the two should be connected to one another. And I really believe that when we as Jews can combine, synthesize what Yerushalayim is meant to be in such a beautiful, special way, then maybe the city won't be divided externally as well, because it'll be coherent. It'll stand for the full breadth of what the human experience is meant to include. Religious commitment, social justice, and how they come together in the right package. And this is what I reflect on every year in Yom Yerushalayim, when I interact with the different people in Yerushalayim, and this year abroad, thinking about how we can try to bring Yerushalayim back to embody and symbolize and represent everything that God intended for this city and for us as his people in the city to realize. So hopefully this Yom Yerushalayim will take us a step closer to that, and next year we should be closer to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, Bitztako v'mishpat, and Malkom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Yom Yerushalayim Sameach, and now comes the climax, the best part of the program. We save the best for last. Chag Sameach.